hockey. Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
And welcome into a very emergency Saturday morning. Yes, it's 11:10. It qualifies. Saturday morning, Judd's Hockey Show, Zolgad, Declan Goff. So, Declan, let's go back to last night.
In what regards? Are we talking about what you and I did last night?
We're talking about what happened last night to precipitate the emergency Judd's Hockey Show that we're doing right now. I feel it needs proper context because if nothing else, it's a very Minnesota sports thing. So I'm on my couch on about my fourth beer, just minding my own business, watching games. And, you know, it's a Friday night. Happy hour. It's happy hour.
Exactly.
And somebody sends me via Twitter a Kevin Weeks tweet that he had put out. I think when I got it, it was a half hour old or so. Okay.
Sure.
Now, Weeks is a former National Hockey League goaltender who right now works for NHL Network. I believe he has signed on to ESPN. But while he's a former player, he insides too.
Yes.
So like he breaks some stuff. Like he talks to players, agents, and he's the rare player who actually seems to be in competition to try and break stories. And here's what the tweet said. As of now, talks with likely rookie of the year Kirill Kaprizov and the Minnesota Wild have gone cold. My understanding is he's in Moscow, and it's believed CSKA is interested in signing him for KHL, which of course is where he played, and the Olympics. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, that sets off some bells, whistles, and alarms. And I don't know if we could put these up on the screen, but Michael Russo, friend of the show, as you like to
friend
say.
Friend of the show, as I like to say.
Friend of the show from The Athletic, who is the, I think it's safe to say, is the preeminent beat writer on the Wild beat and has been for a long time. He felt it necessary to respond to sort of add to what Weeks was saying, which was much appreciated, right? And so if you can put those tweets up, we can also read them for the folks who are joining us via the podcast. But the first one, yes. So, Russo, in response to what Weeks tweeted, because what Weeks tweeted, like it or not, is a story, tweeted, the Wild and Kaprizov's agents say Kaprizov is at a buddy's wedding, very Declan-like, in Moscow.
Yeah. Yep,
his agent gave the team a heads up. As for the CSKA KHL rumors, that's his only option besides signing back with the Wild, and they'll offer him a ton of money. So expect those rumors as long as he's unsigned here. And then put the last, if you could, go to the last Russo tweet then, which expanded on the first one. As far as negotiations with the Wild, Kaprizov wants short-term so far, Wild offering him long-term. So as I've reported, this coming from Russo, this is going to be a tough negotiation. Again, the Russia option is the only option, so that will be the leverage as long as he is unsigned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those are the bullet points and the highlights from what started as a very pleasant Friday night on which I thought, what could go wrong? It's gorgeous outside, even via Minnesota sports. I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? The Twins are going to lose. And by the way, they didn't. All right. So I saw immediate responses from the folks who were like saying, Kevin Weeks is just trying to make a story here where there's not a story. I think it's very telling that it's telling and appreciated. Russo responded so quickly to update things. But here's where I stand, okay? My stance is this, because I am not going in the, it's no big deal. Who cares? He's not going back to CSKA. He's gonna be here and that's it. And this is all a ploy. And it probably is partially a ploy. But here's why I'm not dismissing it. One is we know nothing about the young man. He's 24. And we don't know a thing about him. So the important thing to keep in mind here is we don't know if he was homesick. We don't know how close he is to his family. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Like, we didn't get close to him. We talked to him on Zooms. So that's the important factor off the ice. And the other thing is I messaged with some people last night too, Dex, is, you know, it's very easy to just get defensive and assume, he'll be here. Nothing's going to happen. And I do think he will ultimately. But to dismiss this to me completely is dangerous. And the agent clearly leaked this through Weeks and started that process.
Yep.
So that means talks are stalled. Like mm-hmm. that means that if they've hit no snags, nobody's talking publicly. So what's your thought process? Because mine is to dismiss it is hubris and arrogance that can, especially in this town, come back and bite you right in the ass.
Mm-hmm. The way I look at it is, yeah, it's probably a ploy by the agent. That my first gut is it's a ploy by the agent. Mm-hmm. It's a ploy by the agent to get Kaprizov the money and the contract that he wants. Mm-hmm. Now, if he wants short-term, which, by the way, I think it's going to be a short-term contract, and I would love it to be a long-term deal, but guess what? He's 24. He probably more wants a 4 to 5 year deal, so then that way when he's 28, 29, maybe 30, he can still cash out and get a second large deal. And you see these Russian players all the time. Look, I mean, I'm going to use a little extreme of an example, but look at Ovechkin. Ovechkin's into his late 30s. He's still a very damn good player. These guys can play, and I think Kaprizov has a skill set that's not Zach Parise that can translate for a very long time and be a very successful NHL player for a very long time. So he doesn't want to sign a 8-year deal, which I believe is the max under the new CBA. He wants to do a 4 to 5 year deal with a lot of money up front. So then 5 years from now, he can cash out again. And I understand that. I don't think that this is too much of a panic button necessarily. I don't think people should be jumping off the rooftops and be completely burning their Kaprizov jerseys, but it's definitely something to monitor. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely, you can't dismiss this. Also, if you're wondering why we're even talking about this, because it's a talker. It's a talker, and you're watching this right now. Exactly. This is what a national media member
brought this up.
Yes.
This is not us speculating.
No.
I didn't wake up today in a beer-induced haze and say and text you and say, Declan, let's do a Judd's hockey show because I want to talk about what if Kaprizov doesn't come back.
Right.
I mean, this is – well, and that's the thing is we tend to at times try and dismiss things. Oh, it's made up. And you know what? Lots of times things don't come to fruition. One, that does not mean that they're made up. And two, again, if everything was going swimmingly, and it's not shocking, it's not, but if everything was going swimmingly, this doesn't get out. Yep. And I think you're right. I think so. I don't know what the term that they want is. Clearly, I think the Wild would like to do 8 years, and I don't know at what. Now, I've seen projections. Somebody who does projections projected a 5-year contract for him, and I agree with you. I think it's going to be that. And they said 7+ million. I have seen reports that he wants 10 across the board. Yeah. So don't dismiss the finances completely here, as far as part of the talking points. But one is, so my immediate feeling, and this is not a good one to have, but my immediate feeling, Declan, is this too. The Kaprizov camp is in complete control. I know you'd like to do 8 years. So would I. I mean, this guy is special to watch. Right. We all would. But you don't have the luxury of telling him what he's going to do. And now he does have the one thing is he falls under that weird free agent rule where he is a technically sort of like a restricted free agent with no restricted free agent rights.
Correct.
So he can't sign right now with any team but the Wild. Correct. which is why going back home is the leverage play that he has. But I don't see Declan a way around this that he's not going to get what he wants. And I think you're in a position, if you're Bill Guerin, where you have to give it to him. And you can be like, you know, dude, we love you. We'd like to do 8 years. But at the end of the day, I don't think it's worth getting in some type of tough negotiation because Kaprizov is going to win.
Yep. Bill Guerin's a smart dude. He's a smart cookie, friend of the show. He's been on before. I don't think you should be playing hardball with those negotiations necessarily, and I don't think Bill Guerin is. My kind of take of it is even if he signs a 4 or 5 year deal, well, the window right now is starting. The window right now is to contend, not just like, oh, it's starting and we're going to be cute and we're going to be a flirting with the playoff. No. The window has started. The window has been opened from what has happened this last season. The window is now open. Yes. And you can't project 8 years down. It's hard to project 5 years down the road of where you're going to be. And right now there's an opening. So if Kaprizov only does 5 years here, mm-hmm. well, the Wild, how they're constructed right now, are supposed to contend for a cup likely in the next 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. So if it's only a 5-year deal and the Wild contend for a cup, then great. Most likely is the case that Kaprizov then re-ups his deal after the current 4 to 5 year deal ends. If you don't win a cup, if you don't contend for a cup, most importantly, if you don't even contend for a cup in 5 years, well, then that was kind of the writing on the wall. And Kirill was right to not give an 8 year deal. I think in general, he's probably looking at a floor of 8. This is me being a fun armchair GM and a Kaprizov agent. I did see him at the bar a few weeks ago. He was here down here in the North
Loop. I hope he was buying you shots.
He shockingly wasn't. He had a very low brim hat on. He didn't want to be seen. Well, guess what, Kirill? You have the most obvious hair, and you're built like a hockey player, buddy. So
better hair than you do.
He does.
You have great hair.
I don't.
We've established that.
Yep. I don't throw those compliments around. He has a great head of lettuce. But I think in general, he wants a 5 year deal, probably looking around eight million per. And I know he's only had 56 games under his belt in the NHL. He's worth that. I don't think Bill Guerin is playing hardball with him. I think this deal will get done. Like, in terms of the panic meter, Judd, of like 1 to 10, 1 being the least panic and 10 being I'm at an extreme panic and I'm jumping out the window. It's still like a 4. It's a 3. Not even a 4. It's a 3 for me. It's a 3. It hasn't even entered the threshold of entering the 5 to the 10 scale. This is still a 3. And I still think this deal gets done. It's just he wants a short-term deal with money up front, and I can't blame him for that.
Yeah, and I'm curious what Guerin and the boys are offering him right now financially too, because I wouldn't be surprised if he ultimately wants five years at 10 something per, which, you know, again, he's going to get. That's fine. If I had to put it on a panic meter right now, I would say I'm at a 4. Because here's what I'm going to add, in fairness. I'm going to add the Minnesota sports factor. I can't ignore it. Seriously, too much goes wrong here. So I'm going to put it at a 4 because just keep in the back of your mind that we don't know how he likes it here. Like, he came during a season that was in a pandemic and I think was basically confined to his apartment. Now, it's near you, I'm sure. It's a gorgeous area.
Yeah.
But that being said, being confined to your apartment, you're from Russia, you're 24, which in sports terms is older, but in life terms, you're a kid. Yeah. So like, I'm going to put it at a 4 because there's variables, that we can't judge. And I find it interesting that the agent felt it necessary, because it almost has to be him, that he leaked it to a national guy like Weeks to sort of sound an alarm, a preliminary one. And when when you see that, it's just interesting because I guess my comeback is this about the term, and is like Guerin stuck on 8? Cause you're just going to have to come down to 5. Like you lose. I mean, you just do. You brought up a point I wanted to talk about though, because I will say this, and I think we can start this now. And you touched on it, but I think it's spot on. And I'll take what you said and up it just a little bit, Dex. If the Wild has not won a Stanley Cup in the next 5 years, it's a massive disappointment.
Yeah.
It's a massive, but I'm not saying contend. I'm saying you need to win a Stanley Cup. And I know there's variables that make it, you know, things can go wrong. Guys can get hurt. Goaltenders can be fantastic, like Carey Price, or they can stink. But, you know, we gave you the Parisi Suter window and it busted completely. To me, it's no longer an option. Within 5 years, so if Kaprizov does 5 years, you need to win a cup.
Yep.
Like, it's not asking the world to win a bleeping Stanley Cup. A National Hockey League team in this town hasn't been to one since 91. So, but if you do this right, Kaprizov, a center, and I'm talking about a good one, Rossi comes of age and matures. Boldy, same type of deal, right?
Yep.
That blue line, which still is going to have some pretty damn good components. It's time.
Yep.
It's time. And you know what, two decks? If they win a cup and he goes and signs with the Kings, Rangers, I don't know, a team like that, you still have the cup.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a flag that, as they say in baseball, will fly forever. So it would be disappointing, but you still have that cup. But it's time. It's time. And so I think you're dead on right, which is, if you get him 8 years, okay, year 7, are you going to pop and win a cup? I don't think so, probably. Now, you might win a second one. Yeah. But, you know, if Kaprizov's going to be the catalyst that gets you to a Stanley Cup finals and ultimately wins you the chalice, I think it's going to be within 5 years. So let's just say I'm fine with the 5-year contract because I think the pressure, again, the pressure should be huge, but good.
Yep.
How long, I mean, how much have we dialed down pressure on teams in this town because we think they stink or they're just not that good? Good.
And good to have aspirations. Even like, look, I was saying to my friends yesterday, I have never been more frustrated in a Minnesota sports team than this current Twins group. I've never in my lifetime, I'm only 28, but I have never been more pissed off at a local franchise than the 2021 Minnesota Twins. And that's because they had championship aspirations. Now, some people might laugh at that and say, well, hey, Declan, they haven't won a playoff game in their last 18 tries. I get that. Well, guess what? The roster was built to contend right now. The roster was built to win a World Series still. That was still the goal. On the tail end of it, you know, I wasn't as bullish as I probably wasn't going into 2020, but still, it was supposed to contend for a World Series.
Yeah.
Now, the Wild's contention is now opened. And the problem is, and to go back to my original point, you can't necessarily project and you can't assume, I shouldn't say project, you can't assume that 5 years from now, this Wild group, like if you think this last year was, oh, this is just the building block and this will be the worst year of the next 5 years, you don't know that. And you can't, and you, the most important thing is you can't assume that this is going to be the worst year. Look what happened to the Wild after their second loss in the second round of the Blackhawks. You thought, all right, another frustrating sweep, but again, this is just the beginning. Well, then you got bounced in six games of the Stars. Then you missed the playoffs right the next, then you got bounced by Jake Allen. Things derailed immediately afterwards when you thought this was only going to be the first step into contending for a Stanley Cup. That didn't happen. The window got shut. You had an area to do it, and you weren't able to contend. Right now, the Wild's contention, and by the way, look at the NHL right now. Look at the four teams in it. Montreal Canadiens are possibly going to go to a Stanley Cup. The New York Islanders are down 2-1 in a series, but they could go. They're one step away from a Stanley Cup. There's no reason why this current Wild group, if they make the correct ads and getting a center and calling up their prospects and those prospects hit, that they absolutely can't be one of these four teams that are remaining in the Stanley Cup that aren't the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Tampa Bay Lightning should run away with the Cup, but guess what? There's other teams who have put themselves in the window. And you know what? You and I are hockey guys. Sometimes Mackie likes to mock a little bit of hockey. Hockey's a little weird sport, and teams can get hot in the playoffs, and you can ride a goaltender, and things can happen.
Sure.
So this is the area to do this right now has to happen. So if Kirill only signs for 4 to 5 years, and you do win a cup, like you said, and it's gravy, or you don't, well, that was it. That was the window. The window. You're not the Detroit Red Wings.
Right.
You're not going to be able to contend for 20 years, essentially, and put yourself in a Stanley Cup conversation for 15 of those years. That's not how this really works. So this is it. You have to go and get it now.
The thing that I like about this team and this group and why I'm hopeful about their chances and the difference between this group and the group that, as you said, Declan, went to the second round with the Blackhawks, and then we're all like, oh boy, let's just wait and see, is that group was pretty complete as far as you weren't going to add a ton more. Like it was Granlund, Koivu, Parisi, Zucker. But I mean, you knew that core group, right?
Yep.
And you might add some pieces here and there, but they were extra pieces. This group is not complete. And it's why I felt that the 2021 Wild overachieved, because look at who they had in some places. I mean,
sure.
Victor Rask does not fit. Hartman I liked a lot, and I think he can play wing, and I think he has a future here, but he is not your second or third center, ideally, right?
Yeah.
So, like, there's a lot of parts here that are going to be replaced within the next year or two. Boldy's going to come in. Rossi, hopefully you acquire a guy who can start 2021-22 centering for Kaprizov. So like all of those things will change. So I'm optimistic about the Wild's future because there's a lot to be determined. But that's why I say by next year, it's not going to be like, oh, what a feel good story. They finished second or third. It's going to be like, no, that's the expectation. And so they're in a window now where they're actually bringing in guys that should be very, very good. They can make some moves, and that's why within 5 years, I think it's realistic, and I don't know if Cam Talbot's the goaltender or not, but I think it's very realistic for this team, as my alarm goes off.
Wake up, Judd.
That's what happens when you're afraid you're going to sleep too long because you drank too much beer the night before, kids. Don't do that. If you're watching at home with your parents and you just got done with cartoons and now it's time for Judd's hockey show, I'm going to tell you right now, don't be like Judd and have to set your alarm for 11:30. But that's why I think that this team is definitely in a very sweet spot to win.
Yeah.
And they should. They definitely should. I just want to make that very clear, as we've tried to do on Purple Daily with the Vikings, that the next step is not, I hope Kaprizov's here forever. It is, no, get to a Stanley Cup and win the damn thing with him. And then back to your point, if you do that, he's probably going to be like, oh, okay, I'll stay here. So yeah. I'm just saying, I think the show was worth doing because yes. I don't want to dismiss a report that's not fake news. It might be negotiating ploy. That's mm-hmm. fine. But, you know, we're just so quick to be like, fake news, fake news. It's not fake news. The question is, how much of a ploy is this? And yeah. I'm with you. I think he's back. But sorry, you sound the alarm. I'm going to respond to it. That's what we do at Score North.
Exactly. Exactly. And this is not reckless speculation. This, the agent told Kevin Weeks, Michael Russo has also put out things about this. This is a legitimate thing that has to be worth monitoring and it's worth talking about. You know, I know they have Kevin Fiala still to re-sign. They have Joel Eriksson-Ek to re-sign. There's still some big off-season checklists. Usually the hockey off-season, at least in my opinion, again, to go to our point of how much you and I love hockey, the NHL off-season is mostly just a quick little flash in the pan, 1 to 2 day excitement, and then it's basically back to the golf course for 7 weeks before the preseason starts.
Yep.
This one, this wild off-season, and now with this one, if this Kaprizov contract is on top of it, this one was already felt like a pretty significant offseason that we were going to be able to talk about and have a lot of things to discuss. Now, this might be the biggest piece of pie that we're going to be discussing over the next month or so. Mm-hmm. You know, I know there was a report out of Buffalo yesterday from WGR that Jack Eichel might not be traded in weeks. He could be traded in days, which yes. is also worth monitoring. And you yes. and I will most likely do another we will do a reckless speculation of trade targets for the Minnesota Wild, most likely this coming week.
And,
so we will discuss
just quick
that.
Decks,
yeah.
The Ducks, the Flyers, the Wild, the Kings, perhaps the Rangers, and now the Blackhawks, according to the New York Post, are involved.
Ooh.
So the Ducks, the Flyers, the Wild, the Kings, maybe the Rangers, it looks like that's not as certain, but the Blackhawks have gotten involved too.
The Ducks one surprises me the most.
They've got a lot. They got a lot they can
they,
trade
they got some
if they
prospects.
Want to.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got some really nice prospects.
I was talking to my buddy Sean Aronson, who calls games to St. Paul Saints yesterday. He's a diehard Kings fan, and he brought up the Eichel trade from the Kings side, and he said yeah. he doesn't get it. I actually thought the Kings have they're close. Like, you know, I know they weren't in the playoff discussion necessarily, but they're close. They actually had encouraging signs. I think if they get their goaltending fixed, they could actually kind of return to contention in the NHL again if they can figure out, you know, some life beyond Jonathan Quick, who's clearly past his prime.
True.
I thought there was a lot of encouraging signs there. Avery Peterson, and they have a lot of good players that could really pop here soon. So I don't know if they're going to. They would have to mortgage some of those guys to move up to get Eichel. I don't know if that makes them a better team.
They would trade Byfield for sure.
Yeah, they'd trade Byfield. Exactly. They have
Buffalo would want Byfield.
They have a lot of pieces in place they could give up, but I think it would shrink their window where the Wild are ready to go. And they have two first round picks. They have a prospect pool that's as good as anyone's in the league. They have NHL ready players that they could offer, i.e. Kevin Fiala or maybe Matt Dumba, to try to sweeten that deal. And again, I don't think Buffalo does this, but I've told you this numerous times. The Buffalo Sabres are one of the most incompetent franchises, at least recently, in the last 15 years. And they could do something really, really stupid and just sell short on him. And I've also heard behind the scenes from you, and I have heard this too, and I was talking with Sean about it as well from a source from him. Mm-hmm. Eichel's got some issues off the ice. There might be some issues off the ice with Jack Eichel that are worth monitoring.
He's also undergoing a neck procedure.
Yes.
That is concerning, to say
yes.
the least.
Yes.
No, I mean, this trade does not come with a foolproof guarantee of greatness. Jack Eichel, the player, is fantastic.
Yes.
But there's issues in the locker room at times. Yep. Now, the question I've heard posed, in fairness to Jack, is he a victim of the circumstances in Buffalo, or is he part of the problem? But we don't know the answer to that. That's concerning. Right. And look, he's going to have a procedure done. That is, if I'm making a trade for him, I am very leery. I mean, it's a neck problem, Dex. Again, just like with Danielle Hunter. It's a neck problem. It's not a knee. And I know knees are a big deal, but they can be, you know, Tommy John, right? Pitchers have it all the time. They come back now that they miss a lot of time. A neck can end your career. And, you know, just like with football, we're talking about a contact sport. So we're talking about a one wrong hit, bang.
Yeah.
And to quickly correct myself, I said Dustin Byfield because of Dustin Byfield. Quinton Byfield of the Kings. The Ducks have Trevor Zegras, who is a really good center.
Yep.
He came up to the Ducks as a winger, and then they sent him back down and moved him to center full time, and he came back up. He's going to be a stud, I think. And I don't know if they would trade him, but they've got a defenseman. I think his name is Jamie Drysdale, who played in the World Juniors as well. He is really good. So they certainly have more to give. Last thing, I think the Wild offer, the more I think about this, I think the Wild's offer for Eichel, because you're right, Buffalo stinks. Like, they're just not well run. But I do think that they are going to ask for the world and get it from somebody. Mm-hmm. So I think the Wild's offer would need to be Fiala, one of your prospects, like a Boldy. And my guess is now, the more I think about this, I bet they want both of your first round picks to try and trade up for a higher pick. Mm-hmm. So the question, I posed this question on Twitter, and some people agreed and responded, and some just flat out disagreed and said they wouldn't ask for both, but I think they would ask for both because I think they want a high draft pick. And if they got both your picks, they could package them as a deal and probably get a very high draft pick.
And Buffalo has the number one overall
pick. Right. But then they could get another high draft pick.
Yep. So they could possibly get two top 10 picks.
Correct.
Number one overall.
And so the question, that's my question. Would you do Fiala, Boldy, and both your first round picks?
I would not. And I know you and I are going to have a deeper conversation on this in a future pod. But yes, it's worth monitoring, man. And this Kaprizov layer to this discussion in the offseason is going to be a big one. It's going to be a very, very big one.
And in the back of Kirill's mind, last thing, back mm-hmm. of Kirill's mind, I know it's about term. I know it's about cold, hard cash. I appreciate all those things. Yeah. But in the back of his mind, there's got to be a little devil on his shoulder or something saying, Victor Rask was your center. Victor Rask was your center.
I made Ryan Hartman look like
Patrick Kane. I played with Ryan Hartman. I mean, and no offense to Hartman. He works his ass off. Yeah. Rask, I don't care if I offend. Hartman, I actually don't want to because I do like him. But anyway, the point being is if your people are sitting down with Bill Guerin, they got to be saying, Billy, come here, Billy.
Billy.
You got to do better than that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he says you're right.
I think he will.
All right.
All right, sir.
I think we're good. Yep. Enjoy your festivities of the weekend. Yet another Declan friend gets married. It's like every weekend now.
Yeah. If Kirill doesn't sign or signs the contract, we trade for Jack Eichel in the next, the next 24 hours. You might have to rope in old Macadac, or you might have to even text other part-time producer AJ Fredrickson to break it down with you.
AJ Fredrickson would love to break that down.
He would actually.
I don't think we have to be concerned about that, because Kirill, like you, is going to be, according to the folks that Weeks and Russo talked to, at a wedding himself. So my guess is he's into the vodka.
But by the way,
vodka.
The comped cocktails at this wedding are Moscow Mules.
Oh God, we might not see you on Monday.
And old fashions are comped all night. So this is going to be.
How rich are these guys?
They're not rich. I think they put all the money at the bar. I know they're not rich.
Gosh.
So yes.
That's crazy. So like, beer is great. Beer, I get.
Two kegs. Third is available if they have to tap it. They went all in on.
So
the
Moscow Mules are comps, gritties at the bar, and what else?
Old fashions.
That is dangerous.
Yeah, it's going to be dangerous.
It doesn't take. It doesn't take a lot of old fashions to knock you on your ass.
If you have two good stiff old fashions, you're good. I'm good. I'm good personally, and
you
I like
almost
to put
dropped an
back.
F word there, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, exactly.
You're in trouble.
Good. Yeah.
All right.
Oh my God. All right.
Do your thing. We're done.
All right, sir. Pass, shoot, score.